precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Senator says bioterrorism risk is high and still increasing. That's exactly right. Biological terrorism remains a serious threat to America. Senator Bill Frist of Tennessee warned, the risk is real. The risk is increasing. Our vulnerability remains high, Frist said at a briefing in an office building closed for months following last fall's anthrax by-mail attacks. Frist, a transplant surgeon, said the anthrax attack was very successful. And as far as we know, the persons responsible are still out there. More than 20 people were infected and 5 died after anthrax-tainted letters were mailed from New Jersey. He also said 11 to 17 countries either have stockpiled biological weapons or have bioweapons programs, but 9 out of 10 public health departments in the United States of America don't have anyone trained in combating bioterrorism. We are so accustomed with taking a lackadaisical and just waiting for something to happen before we do something about it. Now, folks, a lot more needs to be done to protect our department stores, our banks, and wherever people are. But the bottom line is this, in reality, is if we go after the terrorists like we should, and we do all that we possibly can to take care of those governments that are sponsoring terrorism, the probability is we'll not need all this stuff. And we're going to get to the point where we think we have all of the mechanism in place and we will be caught off guard. The bottom line is this. God has allowed things to happen in order to get our attention. Now, I appreciate what our president's been doing and to fight terrorism, and I believe a lot more could be done. But still, when this nation turns to God, then you're going to see God is going to draw near unto us. If we draw near unto God as a nation, then God will draw near unto us, and He will be our ultimate protector. You know, the Bible indicates that the warrior, you know, he's preparing himself for the day of battle. But the Bible says safety is of the Lord. Now, we're going to put all our confidence in our machinery, our tanks, our guns, our anti-bioterrorism technology. And we're going to put all our confidence in that. There is no way under heaven we'll ever be protected. Now, that's what we need as a country, folks. We need to flee to the God of refuge, and we need to get right with Him. It's all right to have all this stuff, but you have to understand, that's not going to do any good to have all this stuff and we not be a righteous nation. Do you get the message? I'm not saying do away with protection, but I'm saying that all the protection in the world that is generated by man will be of none avail unless we receive God back into our country. And in order to do that, we're going to have to take some drastic steps. Now, you know what the Bible says. The Bible says a nation that forsakes God shall be turned into hell. Now, you might ask, well, Dr. Fried, if you was president of the United States, what would you do to get this country back to a right position, to become back to being a, or considered to be, a righteous nation? I'll tell you what I'd do. First of all, I'd quarantine all those sodomites in our country. Next, I would bring all the ones who are guilty of abortion, and they would have to be tried, for that is a capital offense. Sodomy is also a capital offense in the Bible. And now you wanted to know what I would do. I'm telling you what I'd do. Oh, I know I would never be elected president, but I'm telling you what ought to be done. I'd shut down all those pornographic websites. That's exactly right. I close down the bars. I make alcohol illegal. And adultery would have would be a capital offense. I'm going back to the Bible. Now, you say we're going back to the Stone Age. No, I'm going back to the Bible. Now, I'm telling you what the government's responsibility is. The Bible talks about the government's responsibility is to put away, to punish the evildoer. It's not my responsibility as a Christian to punish or legislate righteousness. It's the government's responsibility to legislate right living in this country. Oh, you're afraid we're going to get back down to the days of the Puritans. No, but we do need to follow the moral principles of God's word as a government. That's exactly right. And there surely wouldn't be public education. That's been one of the worst things that ever happened to our country, is allow the secular, liberal-minded teachers to teach our children. I get school back out. I get it back out of public sight and put it back in to Bible-believing churches where it was for many years ago. But ultimately, it's the parents' responsibility to teach their kids. I believe that homeschooling is absolutely terrific. Back in the olden days, before they even had so-called Christian school, pastors used to go around in the community and check up on the parents, see how they were teaching the kids. And that's how it was. And then it started getting more organized, and churches started teaching the kids. And then the government didn't like that, so they took it away from the churches. And the government says, we got to teach them. And so they pumped down all this anti-God, took prayer out of school, and they started pumping all this evolution teaching, and I'd ban the false teaching of evolution, and I'd shut down, I'll tell you what I'd do, I'd shut down all these false religions as well. Or you say, oh, well, government should interfere with religious freedom. Well, when religious freedom smacks against the moral principles of God's Word, then it needs to be shut down. That's exactly right. There's a lot of these false religions. I'm talking about a country under God. Now, what God are you serving? Are you serving the God of Allah? Or are you serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Oh, yes, everybody needs to have a free will, you might say, or a choice to make up their own minds as to what they want to believe or reject. Well, I agree with that. We wouldn't force anybody to believe. But we're sure not going to allow an environment that caters to the devil's whims of leading people down the road of hell. We know that wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and it's very narrow when it comes to the way that leads to the kingdom of God. And we want to make that way as wide as possible that leads to the kingdom of God. It's our responsibility, beloved, to lead people and point them into the right direction. But I would not tolerate all of the stuff that's going on right now. Would not tolerate it at all. Well, I guess you won't elect me president after all, because the bottom line is you don't want a righteous country. Now, here's the truth of the matter, that until the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ comes and reigns upon this earth, and he will for 1,000 years, you'll not see the kind of environment that I'm talking about. And when he comes, he will rule with a rod of iron, and that's exactly right. And we won't have this nonsense, this outward rebellion, and this outward immorality, and the wantonness and lascivious living that abounds in our society, this loose living, this anything goes, if it feels good, do it mentality. We're not going to have any of that when the King of Kings reigns. And that's the only time, really, that what I'm saying is ever going to really happen, because there's not going to be a country that's going to rule righteously. I don't foresee it, and the Bible doesn't surely talk about it in the last days to come. All we can do as individuals is be sure we're right with a holy God, and that's the purpose of this broadcast, is to point you into the right direction. Flee to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Trust his holy word, as we know it in the King James Bible. Now, changing gears just a little bit, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable. Do you hear that? Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. The reason why I quote that scripture is because recently there was a study made, and the title goes, Marry First, Live Together Longer. In the latest report on marriage versus living together, marriage is again the winner. After 10 years of marriage, about 40% of couples who live together first have divorced. About 31% of those who had not cohabitated first have split in the same time frame, says the report. Cohabitation, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Released Wednesday by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It is based on interviews with about 11,000 women ages 15 and 44. Overall, by age 30, about 3/4 of American women have been married. About half have lived with a man before marrying. Those most apt to divorce include women who marry young, have less money, are not religious, and whose parents are divorced. This report in USA Today. And so the Bible is true once again. All you have to do is go to the Bible, and you'll have what you need to know how we ought to live our lives. That's exactly right. The devil sure got into this country when he got into our families, and he got into our families through television, through videos, through ungodly influences. And he got into our families when the Bible was kicked out of our homes, and when churches no longer preach the true, unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I'm telling you, our world is heading to disaster. What are we going to do about it? Well, we must flee to the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, by the way. That's exactly right. Jesus Christ is a Jew. That's right, you Jew haters. You claim to be a so-called Christian and you don't even love the Jews. I can't even believe that you could be a Christian if you hate the Jewish people. Don't you realize that Jesus is a Jew? That's exactly right. But that's another subject. But here, what's for dinner? Clone cow? I mean, when you think about their shooting our animals with all of these hormones and everything, and we got hyperactive sexual kids out there, don't even know what to do with their bodies because they're maturing at a faster rate than God designed their bodies to. And that's why promiscuity is an all-time high, and all kinds of abominable things are occurring. And you say, well, it don't matter what I eat. That's because God is your belly. That's exactly right. But here's another twist to some of this. In the quest for the perfect steak, scientists have created the first clone cow from a two-day-old side of beef. The feat means cattle producers could choose beef cells from a slaughtered cow after its meat has been graded, then create a herd of grade A clones, scientists say. The clone, a female calf named Casey, was born last Monday at the University of Georgia. The research is part of a collaboration between the school's College of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences and a private company. So, reported here in USA Today. I tell you one thing, man's effort will not stop at simply accepting the blessings of God. They want more and more and more of their own devices. You know what? We're going to reap what we sow. It's been reported a number of times about this mad cow disease. Yes, exactly right. And they found out, by the way, one of the things that causes mad cow disease, that they are producing the actual flesh of animals and feeding it to animals. They do it genetically, and now we're wondering why things are all messed up. That's because we're messing with God's ordained plan. We're messing with that which only He is allowed to create. We're trying to create our own babies. We're trying to create our own cows. We're trying to create almost everything. You know what? God's letting us do it, and it's going to be to our own destruction. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And so it is, folks. We are experiencing like things that happened in the days of Noah, when the Bible said in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, "And the Lord said, Behold, the people's one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." In an editorial of the USA Today, and even though I quote many times from this, these news articles. I do not agree with their liberal slant. Of course, there are some times they have some good conservative editorials, and this is one which I agree with. They're doing it mostly from a liberal point of view, but I'm agreeing with it because it is part of this one world system that is closing in on us at a rapid pace. And again, this is all stepping stones to the Antichrist one world system, which you're going to be a part of if you do not get born again. And I don't mean born again like a good feeling. I'm talking about regeneration. I'm talking about conversion to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm talking about repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. Now notice here, new watch program poses troubling privacy issues. Potential TIP stirs. Tip. Several major groups have either expressed interest or have been contacted by the government about participating in a federal anti-terrorism program of these voluntary informants. They include International Brotherhood of Teamsters, that has 350,000 UPS and other truck drivers, American Trucking Associations, which has 3,000 trucking companies, International Longshoremen's Association, 50,000 dock workers, and the U.S. Postal Service, about 300,000 letter carriers. And what they're trying to do here, folks, is trying to get all these organizations that interact with our daily lives and get them to be spies. Kind of remind you of the days when Hitler had sent his SS troops basically snooping around and got their mommies tattletale on their children, and the children tattletale on their mothers and fathers. And I mean, you're talking about living in a closed society where there's no freedom, no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion or faith in God. I mean, just outright misery, that eavesdropping in every aspects of our lives. Almost as if you can't flush the toilet without the government knowing about it. And now you say, well, this is all for our good. You say we need to have this so that we can get those terrorists. Well, I'll tell you something. If every home in the United States was armed with an M16 and a couple of bazookas and was trained in how to defend their homes, and we had the militia, I'm talking about the militia that we once had, I'm talking about a good thing, not a bad thing. Oh, I know there were some militias out there that lost their minds and did some outrageous things, but you don't throw the baby out with the bath water. It ought to be a requirement for every city in the United States to have a militia. Every home ought to have weapons to defend themselves. And if we did all that, and if everybody carried guns on their belt, terrorism wouldn't really have a whole lot of say in much. Amen to that. Well, that's another subject, gun control or not, and we'll probably cover that one of these days. Now, folks, I'm not saying we take the law in our own hands. No, I never said that. Don't you pervert what I'm saying. But I'm saying that we have the right to defend ourselves. All right, now, according to this article, more protections are needed to ensure informants act with restraint. Well, frankly saying, I don't believe there ought to be these kinds of informants. They should not solicit the civilians in order to be informants. I mean, that's like getting grandma to spy on the grandchildren. I mean, that is absurd. Anyway, the article says the Teamsters Union wants the thousands of UPS drivers to be among those serving as the government's eyes and ears for Homeland Security. The workers could get the chance within weeks. when the Bush administration launches a corps of citizens to report suspicious and potentially terrorist-related activity to a toll-free government hotline. Enlisting the public to help fight the war on terror makes a certain amount of sense, just as ordinary Americans dwarfed the shoe bomber on a Paris to Miami flight last December. Well, folks, they didn't have to be solicited to do that. They just were trying to save their own skin, and panic arose, and they did the only sensible thing. Now, if people had weapons on board there who were weapons on there, that guy wouldn't have been a problem. But, oh, yeah, well, anyhow, let's just put it this way. Soliciting citizens, we're all already on alert. If anybody sees something suspicious, people are already paranoid to the degree that they're going to report suspicious this or suspicious that. But the government now is getting it so organized that once it gets really organized and they start going against people like you and I, that they don't like us. They don't like what we say on the radio. They don't like what we preach. I mean, it's going to be against the law one of these days to preach against homosexuality. They're going to say, you see, you're discriminating. No, we're not discriminating. We're simply preaching the Word of God. And that sodomy is immoral. Used to be immoral in this country. And in some places, it's still a criminal offense to commit the act of sodomy. But it's going to come a time, you watch out, you'll see that. It's going to come a time that our government is going to say preaching against sodomy is against the law, and they'll try to put us in jail and shut our mouths and try to get us off the airwaves. And you watch that they'll use these kinds of means to do it. Now, if you want your freedoms to remain, we better not tolerate this. There's better ways to deal with our war on terrorism. Well, anyway, it says here that enlisting the public to help fight the war on terror, they say makes sense. Well, might make sense to you, but don't make sense to me. Now, notice here that the Justice Department's Terrorism Information Prevention System, TIPS, in other words, TIPS, goes beyond encouraging the public to report questionable behavior. By enlisting a hand-picked group of workers, some with access to private information. See, and that's what bothers me. The program threatens Americans and their privacy. That fear has been expressed across the political spectrum. And so you see, such mail carriers, the U.S. UPS truck drivers collect and report suspicious events that could be recorded in a national database, possibly for years. Through details about TIPS operation is still being developed, justice officials say that volunteers will limit their observations to public places. Homes are off limit. Well, are they really off limits? Surely if one of these drivers suspects something as they deliver a package and has the capability of eavesdropping in to our homes, that's just the next step. But before the government launches an army of informants, it needs to answer troubling questions. Privacy invasion, some potential recruits, truck drivers, port workers, utility employees. I mean, what happens if the people don't like us? What happens if they have a vendetta against somebody or their boss or they simply don't like somebody and they can simply, can simply report something's not even true? How are they going to ever know? Could spot suspicious activity in public. But would UPS workers report that they delivered packages from Saudi Arabia, materials from a flight training school to a specific individual? Currently, only law enforcement officials can inspect packages, and then only with the Postal Service's permission. Indelible records. The TIPS website promises that reports will be fed into a database and distributed to appropriate state authorities. Still unclear is how the information will be used, who will have access to it, and how long a person's name could remain in the database. That raises the prospect of the government keeping records of suspected terrorist activity by innocent civilians. The fear is valid. Baseless allegations have resulted from laws that require reporting of suspected child abuse. Oh, can you imagine? UPS guy comes up to your house and they hear somebody spanking their children. I mean, you know, in the right way, of course, and they report as abuse. All kinds of things can occur. Our freedoms will be taken away little by little, and it seems like a whole bunch fast, in a fast pace. In Maryland, an unsubstantiated report stays alive for 5 years unless an individual successfully contests the listing. In California, a nurse learned she was in the Child Abuse Central Index when she was fired from her job. Oh, you know, when you have over 50% of divorces, and I've heard this before from some divorce people who hate their spouses and report child abuse, and that was never true, and now they're listed and under suspicion and restricted and all that. Hey, listen, I think this is getting out of hand, information overload. Before September 11th, the government couldn't even track down the suspicions of its own FBI agents. So how will the Justice Department follow up on tips from a million private citizens? Well, they'll come up with some way. During the Red Scare of the 1950s, lives of innocent Americans were ruined by citizen spies who branded them communists. Those abuses shouldn't be repeated in the name of Homeland Defense. Now, I agree, you know, that there were a lot of communists during that day, but they have the freedoms of our country to believe in what they want to believe as long as it doesn't violate the Word of God. I mean, as long as they don't violate the moral principles of the Word of God, it does not shove down my throat. But obviously, communism was a threat to the national security of this country because it was anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-democracy. Yes, Americans, the article says, need to be vigilant against terror and should be encouraged to report suspicious behavior. But without proper safeguards, the government-sponsored bunch of troops, citizen troops, snoops, could do more to damage democracy than protect. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. Well, thank you for these news articles courtesy of Zion News International. Now stay tuned. Don't turn your dial. We have more yet to come. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee earth, O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, and I'm so glad that you've stayed with us for the remaining portion of the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. And I'm going to continue to read the true story of rabbis who have come to know the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior. And you might say this is extraordinary because we don't hear a lot of rabbis who have an encounter with Him, the Lord Jesus, that is. But this is not an encounter of a third kind, or this is a relationship with the God of heaven. That's exactly right. Now, for those of you who don't understand that we are not teaching that God is something out there like some of the other ones, they believe that there's many gods. And now, folks, no. There's only one God, but that one God is a triune Godhead. All you have to do is look at yourself. What about you? I mean, there's only one of you, and some of you would say, thank God for that. But yeah, hey, there's only one of you, but you got a body, you got a soul, and you got a spirit. Well, you know what? God said He created us in His image. So if we're three in one, and we are, then God must be three in one. That doesn't mean that there's three gods. No, it means there's one God who has three personalities. And even the old-time rabbis believed in that. Now, here's the thing. Many, many rabbis have come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior over the years. And many of them suffered great persecution because of that. But that does not change that these people had a change in their life that lasted forever. And even to their dying breath, they held to that conviction that Jesus died and shed His blood for the whole wide world. See, when a person gets truly born from above, he gets born again, a supernatural thing occurs. We're not talking about reformation here. We're not talking about turning over a new leaf. No, we're talking about regeneration. We're talking about a supernatural change that takes place. And the God Almighty indwells that person, whether it be a Jewish person or a Gentile, and that person becomes spiritually reborn. All right, now I continue to read the true testimony of Rabbi, this great rabbi, Rabbi Sam Stern. And he continues to say, weren't all those who carried crosses and had pictures of saints in their homes? Now, this is experience that he had had. He thought that Roman Catholicism represented true biblical Christianity. And later on, he realized that it didn't, that a lot of the traditions of Roman Catholicism was not biblically founded at all. And so he says that especially during the era, the World War II era, he says, so yet organized pogroms against the Jews of Europe, weren't they Christians? So he had this mentality that the Christians, the true Bible-believing Christians, were behind all that, and they were not. Weren't the churches in Poland and Ukraine the main source of anti-Semitism? Didn't the priests incite their people against the Jews? Well, the false church did. And there was a lot of anti-Semitism. Even the Roman Catholic Church has come to acknowledge that fact. He looked at me and said, the Lord teaches us to love our enemies, to show love to those who hate us. All those who do not obey the teachings of the Lord are not his followers. And then he gave me a Yiddish New Testament and said, read it, and you will find the true teaching of Christ. I took the New Testament, Brit Chadashah, New Covenant, put it in my pocket and said, yes, sir, I will read it. I want to see what the New Testament is really like. I don't know anything at all about it. In the next few nights, I had read much of it. Every line, every page was a great revelation to me as I read with great interest. Opening the book of Matthew, I was surprised to read that Jesus is of the lineage of Abraham and David. I also noticed that on every page it says, as it is written, which means that it was written in our Jewish Bible. For example, in the first chapter, I read that he was to be born of a virgin. Prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now that's in the Jewish Bible, and Emmanuel means God with us, and he surely was literally with us. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 in the New Covenant says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Now you say, well, in my Jewish Bible, it doesn't say virgin. Well, that's what it means. In fact, Rashi admitted that this word, Alma, in the Hebrew, was talking about a Jewish young girl, a Na'ara. Now, a Na'ara, he said, was definitely a girl who had not been given to marriage yet and was of the age to be betrothed to somebody and had just reached puberty. And so, with his own words, Rashi had concluded this person, this young girl, would have had to be a maiden, definitely a virgin. And although the Jewish translation into English from the Hebrew does not translate the Hebrew word Alma and translate it with the word virgin, anybody that searches this out and read and studies it out will admit it has to be talking about a virgin. In fact, the word Alma is used 7 times in the Tanakh, the Old Testament Jewish scriptures. And every time it is mentioned, it's always in the context of a virgin girl. By the way, what miracle would it be for simply a married woman to give birth? there would be no big thing about it at all. But this is a sign, and a sign is a miracle, is something that only God can do. And surely a woman, a young woman, a virgin, a young girl, a Naira, who had never had relations with a man, giving birth would definitely be a miracle. Would you not admit to that? You say, well, that's impossible. How could that ever happen? Well, how could Sarah, Abraham's wife, give birth when she was over 90 years old? Surely that had to be a miracle as well. Is there anything too hard for God? The Bible says there's nothing too hard for God. With man, Jesus said, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so, as this rabbi, Sam Stern, had continued to consider some of the verses in the Tanakh, the Holy Scriptures, he discovered there in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Now notice this, whose goings forth have been from old, of old, from everlasting. In other words, the Messiah was around way before Abraham ever was around. And that's why Jesus Christ said that before Abraham was, I am. And, well, outside of blasphemy, the only thing that could refer to is that Jesus must be God. We don't serve two gods. We only serve one God. This is the part of God that whenever God manifests himself, he always does it through his Son. That's the part of God. Oh, I know it's hard for you to comprehend that, but that's just the truth. When Moses was up there at Mount Sinai and he asked God, by what name should he use to when he was going to deliver people of Israel out of Egypt, God the Father said, I am that I am has sent you. So, Jesus is the image of the Father. He's the express image of the Father. And that's why Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And that's why he also said that if you see me, you see the Father. So, we're not talking about two or three or four gods. We're talking about one God that has three personalities or three parts. Now, just like we. And so he also considered that in the book of Hosea chapter 11, another messianic prophecy there in that chapter 11 of Hosea, verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And of course, if you know the story, the true story of the Lord Jesus Christ, his parents did take him into Egypt so that Herod would not kill him. And this is a great messianic prophecy as well. Thus reading, he says, Rabbi Stern continues to say, I notice on each page and in every chapter constant references to the Old Testament, the Tanakh, about the Messiah. It became clear to me that this book called New Testament is actually fulfillment of the Old Testament, Tanakh. I realized that we rabbis were too much occupied with the Talmud and paid little or no attention to our Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Then and there, I became a Bible-believing Jew. I thank God for leading me to that little work that and decided to dedicate my life to the Messiah. I received him as my Lord and Savior, and God had convicted me of my sinfulness. My acquaintance with a Jewish minister of the gospel, it was a few weeks before Passover, and the preacher in Rhode Island gave me the address of a Jewish believer in Jesus who lived in New York, and I went there because I'd never before seen a Jewish believer in Jesus. As soon as I contacted him, he invited me to his home. He welcomed me with the greeting, Shalom Aleichem. We read together from the New Testament in Yiddish. After a while, he told me he had written a poem called The Sufferer and started to read it. But this was only a pretense, as it was in reality the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Then he asked me, who is the subject of this poem? Who suffered for our sins? By whose stripes are we healed? I answered, it probably refers to Jesus Christ. Then he said, I just copied out, read to you the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He was the one who wrote about the Messiah. Imagine my surprise and shock. I did not know the contents of Isaiah 53. The next day I showed the same poem to a friend, a rabbi in New York. He did not know either that Isaiah had written the chapter. The only conclusion I could reach was that the main reason so many rabbis and other Jews don't know the Messiah, the Savior of the Old and New Testament, is that they don't know the Bible. I decided to do everything in my power to bring the Jewish people back to their Bible. Well, Rabbi Stern was correct. The Scriptures testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in them you'll find eternal life. Jesus is the bread of life, and if you receive him by faith, God will save you. Jesus the Messiah said, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Don't you, dear Jewish person out there, dear rabbi, dear banker, dear Gentile, whoever you might be, you might be rich, you might be poor, do you not want to spend eternity in heaven with your Savior? There's only one choice, heaven or hell. You have to make a choice, heaven or hell. Which will it be? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Will you not choose Jesus? If you do, he will give you eternal life.
Keep his covenant and show his mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.